I think most people have used ChatGPT, right?
Yes.
And we found it very useful.
Yeah.
So we haven't really seen that being translated to a lot of value add in the real estate sector, but I think that definitely is going to change.
Bernard, CEO of HProp Singapore and Malaysia.
And in fact, last year we celebrated our 20th year anniversary for the H Singapore. Because for these things to work, you need what we call the network effect. For it to work, I have to be in a metaverse where every one of my friends also in the metaverse.
Bernard, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Melvin.
Great. So today, we're going to talk everything about real estate.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
About the property space. I think we're going to talk a little bit about prop tech as well. A quick introduction on Bernard. Bernard is the CEO of HProp Singapore in Malaysia. He also manages the H Singapore. And Bernard, share with us a little bit about when did HProp started in Singapore? How many years back? Was it like 10 over years ago?
No. It's less than that, actually. So we started in 2015, so that's about 8 years ago.
Right.
So how we came about or how we started is when we acquired Square Foot Research, this company which I believe you yourself use
and
a lot of your agents use.
Yeah.
It provides data analytics.
Right.
So I think it matches very well with the branding of the H, which always tends to be a bit more analytical, a bit more research-driven, a bit more data-driven, and a bit more insightful, right? So that allows us to build HProp because I think the technology is there for us to basically combine what we are good at, which is content about the property market, and also this company which we managed to acquire. So from there, we build HProp, and that has been that's what we've been doing over the last 8 years.
Right.
So, yeah.
Hello, how about the H Singapore? When did you get started? Was it around the same time?
No. Actually, the H Singapore started a long time ago. So H Malaysia started in 1994, I believe. And then H Singapore came into market in 2002. Yeah, so that's way before my time.
Okay.
And in fact, last year, we celebrated our 20th year.
Wow, congrats.
Anniversary for the H Singapore. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
So, I guess for the H, our goal or our mission is really to help people make better financial decisions. And for HProp, it's really helping people make better property decisions.
Mm.
So, that's how we, that's what we strive to do.
Right. So, HProp now has so-called been in a couple of spaces. One is, of course, in terms of the property listing portal space. The other one will be strong positioning in terms of your editorial and your magazine as well, which I think a lot of, not just real estate news, but developer news and things like that. So, maybe share with us a little bit about how are things different in the real estate space from 2015 comparing to now, 2023. Mm-hmm. What do you see in terms of differences in maybe firstly the portal space versus now?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good question. I think 2015 versus now, much has changed, obviously. Mm. And I think the biggest change that we see or we saw was that consumers and agents today are a lot savvier than they used to be in 2015. Mm. Even before COVID, I think COVID really accelerated this digital adoption trends.
Right.
So consumers these days know where to go to look for property transactions, right? These days, they no longer just rely on agents to tell them what the transactions are. Mm. They're a lot smarter. They know where to look. They know how to Google,
right?
And obviously, there are platforms, even government websites that helps them navigate this complexity around the real estate market in Singapore, right? So, you know, there are questions that people are asking are also a lot broader and a lot more in-depth these days. For example, consumers now are a lot savvier in the sense that they know when land is sold in the proximity, right? Mm. So they know that, okay, this land is sold at this price means the developer is going to launch at this price, right? Mm. So my asking price now has also gone up, mm. right? And all these are transparent information if you know where to look.
Right.
So I think for me, and as a platform that helps users make better property decisions, the trick is, or I mean the key is, how do you constantly innovate yourself or provide additional information to consumers and to property agents mm. that they don't already know, because they are very savvy these days, mm. right? So they know where to look for information.
Right.
So yeah, so that is a day-to-day challenge for us. Because when we first started, property portal is just a property portal, right? It's like an online classified where you go, you search for property, that's about it. But these days it's beyond that, right? Mm. You have a property listing, but you want to know what is the rental yield for this building, right? You know what's the rentability, how many transactions are there, for right. rent have been done for that building in particular, right? Yeah. What's my rental yield? What's my capital gain? Mm. So all these things we are able to provide thanks to basically our years of investing in data analytical tools. So I think to summarize is that agents and consumers likewise are becoming a lot savvier. And in some ways, it makes our job also a bit harder, right? Okay. To constantly having to add value.
Right. So would you say that now you're sort of like, in terms of business space, right? The real estate segment, one space you're in is the editorial space.
Yes. Yes.
The other space will be tools and data tools for realtors. Mm-hmm. Then the third space will be the property listing space.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which one actually came about first? I mean, from like a business point of view.
So I think naturally it's the editorial content that is our strength, right? Our bread and butter, so to speak.
Is it because of the history with the age, right?
It's the history with the age. It's that we have very good writers that have very good context, good sources of information. So that is naturally our competitive edge, right? No pun intended. because that's what we used to do, and that's what we know how to do. And subsequently, when we acquired Squarefoot Research, that's how we get better at the data analytics portions.
Right.
Because you combine the two, right? You combine editorial and you combine data analytics, then you have very insightful content. Previously, we just have editorial angles, but no data, right? Mm. So now if you combine the two, then it makes a lot of sense. And when you have that too, and when people are on your site, naturally they will be thinking about properties to buy, properties to rent, properties to rent out, properties to sell, right? So naturally that's how the portal side of the business
evolved.
So all these things happen quite naturally, right? Because it just makes sense from a business perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
So like how do you view in terms of like the prop tech space, right? I mean, these are all part of the evolvement of prop tech. I mean, the past, when I remember like probably 15, 16 years back, realtors are still depending on newspapers, flyers as a source of prospecting, Straits Times classified as a source of marketing and advertising to get a home sold and to hunt for buyers. Then it evolved into a property portal space. And of course, now in the last, I would say probably about 5 years, it is a lot into content.
Yes.
Because of the rise of social media platforms, videos, short form videos and things like that. What about the adoption of AI, right? And how do you see like AI being a key component in real estate Singapore? Because if we look at, since the rise of ChatGPT, the amount of tools that has evolved, and when we look at what is happening in US and China, I think the adoption of AI is so much faster over there. So how do you think it's going to filter into Singapore?
I think Singapore generally, we are quite early adopters, I would say, generally, right? Because of natural reasons, right? Most of us have a computer, right? Most of us have multiple mobile phones. Our internet penetration rate is very good. Our internet speed is very good. So naturally, people are quite early adopters. So this whole AI space, which actually just came about maybe the last, 12?
Couple of months back, Probably 6 months.
Then it has really grown in terms of its usage. So I think most people have used ChatGPT, right?
Yes.
And we found it very useful.
Yeah.
So we haven't really seen it seen that being translated to a lot of value add in the real estate sector. We have seen companies basically take ChatGPT and put it and basically basically the same function, right?
Yeah.
We haven't really seen innovative out-of-the-box function of AI in the real estate sector. But I think that definitely is going to change. I'm sure many companies are exploring this AI space and how it could be useful for the real estate sector.
Right.
And if you really think about it, the potential is
immense,
right? Mm. And at the same time, it can be quite scary, right? If you are not adopting it or if you're not innovating fast enough, you could be left behind.
Mm.
But I have to say that it's one problem with AI today is that actually the cost is still can be quite on the high side.
Mm.
Like the GPU cost, for example, right? The graphic processing unit cost. Those costs have not come down to a level where the broader market can accept, right? So until that happens, we'll see people talk about AI, we'll see people try out AI, but to implement AI on a wider scale and to make it useful for both consumers and property agents, that will happen when the costs come down. But a lot of what we're seeing now is very experimenting. People are just trying out new things to see what it works.
Yeah.
But yes, eventually the cost is going to come down like any sort of computer technology. It gets cheaper and faster over time. So we are going to see that in the coming years. And yes, I think that is going to have an impact on the real estate sector.
Mm.
Yeah, in terms of how, we will have to see.
Right. Yeah. So I read this book. They use this term in terms of what's going to happen like once AI is like full-blown, which is, of course, starting now.
Mm.
They use this term called cognification in the sense that people will start to add existing workflows and framework. That means, example, if you talk about videos, you take videos plus AI.
Mm.
You talk about crafting an article plus AI. Mm. So everything will be plus AI. So in terms of the real estate workflow, maybe we can talk about, let's say for transactions and also on the marketing portion, like which portion or which particular kind of like workflow do you think will start the adoption first? Like, is it more towards the marketing side? Is it more towards like, maybe like the video creation side or like even like data tools, valuations, right? Which I think valuation will be the easiest to implement to add in AI and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, or how about like in future, maybe even certain transactions workflow are a little bit more automated already. But of course, that involves the authorities and stuff like that. So which one do you think will be the earlier adopters for the real estate transaction spectrum?
I think we have seen it being adopted in marketing, right? So for example, we have seen, what do you call it? The
content space.
You have a room which is furnished in a particular style and you don't really like it. You want to reimagine what are the other possibilities, right? So AI has been used for that to, maybe you want to redesign your space to a Scandinavian style or to a very Japanese style or whatever, right? A few clicks of the button, you can present this to your client and say, okay, actually it looks like this today, but these are the potentials.
As in virtual staging.
Yeah, virtual staging. Right. And you can even do videos of virtual stages, right?
Yep.
So I think that has been done because I think marketing is always the most interesting to experiment because your creativity have no boundaries, right?
Right.
You can just think of what works to bring in the consumer. So I think definitely that space is something that will have the greatest penetration for sure. And then slowly it filters down to transactions and to the data analytics.
So with like, virtual staging has been happening like in the past years because there's like 3D renderings, but they are mostly still images, or you can do like VFX on videos and stuff, but it takes a longer time, right? So do you think like, because we're just trying to see like which market will potentially be so-called like cognified first, right? So will virtual staging overtake physical staging?
In Singapore, no.
As in physical home staging, because physical home staging costs, is also very high.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like, for example, if a realtor...
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay, why am I speaking in this context is because I think sometimes when realtors really want to do a good job to get the homes sold for their clients, they engage physical staging companies. Of course, we do engage physical staging companies. We also have our own in-house staging unit as well, but we don't have like an extreme full-fledged of truckloads of furnitures. But it can be costly.
And there's physical staging can be costly.
Like per month, it can go up to like 2,000 over. Yeah. Some landed properties are 3,000 plus. Yeah. Do you think virtual staging will replace physical staging because of the hassle and the cost?
I think same answer in Singapore, no. Just because we are too small of a country, right? If I'm really interested in the property, I'm going to go see it. But I could be in Tampines and the property could be in Jurong. Takes half an hour.
So let me rephrase my question. In the sense that if will companies providing physical staging services be affected because of the rise of AI virtual staging? And of course, like next year, I mean, more goggles are going to come out and stuff like that. Yeah.
But if your client wants, die want to see the unit.
Actually, clients
physically.
Okay, I think seeing the unit will still happen.
Yeah.
But it's more about realtors. Will then now know that my cost is lower for virtual staging. Yeah.
And whether they will adopt that.
They want to invest in, because sometimes they come out of their pocket to pay for the...
It's already happening, I believe, right? I mean, this virtual staging replacing physical staging.
It is, but not at a fast adoption.
Not at a fast adoption rate. I suspect it's ultimately boils down to conversions. Right? I think it's the same for developers. There are developers... that launch, like developers can choose to launch without a show flat, without a show gallery. Because show gallery costs a lot of money, it could cost millions of dollars, right? Yeah,
at least 2-3 million.
Yeah, and they still choose today to launch it physically, even though the virtual capability is there. And so we ask ourselves why. And the reason is very simple, people want to touch and
bring a mortar
things, right? And what we've seen is those with show flats have outperform those without show flats. So from a developer's perspective, yes, they still need show flat. Because like I said, in Singapore, I can just go and visit. But if I'm in China or in the US, for example, like I'm in the East Coast, but maybe I'm thinking of going to the West, right? So the virtual staging part could replace the physical staging in wider places. But from a supply side, I think really it boils down to whether virtual staging works as effectively as physical staging in converting your clients. I mean, I think if the answer is yes, then it's very... I think the answer is very easy. But if it's no, the answer is no, then I think physical staging still needs to be done. Because real estate is very... Like, you're right. It's very brick and mortar. Right? Yeah. And
it's most, emotional also.
Yeah. And most people only buy properties...
Every 5 to 9 years.
So I want to make sure I see it. I want to make sure I can feel it, lick it, or whatever, right? Before I decide to buy. So I think that is the challenge in the real estate space, not just for virtual staging, but for any sort of innovation to happen. It takes longer time than other industries. Than for ride-hailing industry, for example. Ride-hailing, I could hail 3 rides in a day. Right? But buying property, I buy once or twice my whole life.
Right?
So for innovation and technology changes to happen, it will happen, but it may take a much longer time compared to some of the other non-traditional sectors.
So do you think that, I mean, this is related to this question, which I think you brought out a very good point in terms of developers' point of view. Will you like implement certain AI tools in your portals? I mean, like in the near future or certain stuff like that?
Something we are experimenting. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Something
that we are experimenting. So I think it goes along the line of something like virtual staging, for example. Right? But we won't know how it takes. I mean, we won't know how far it will take off until we put it in the market, to be honest.
Okay.
Because a lot of times...
When would that be? Looking forward?
Soon. Coming soon.
Will it be this year?
Yes, definitely this year.
Okay, so that relates, I think there's a very good like value add to your portal space, because I think in terms of portal space, your main so-called like customer pool are realtors, man, because realtors buy the service of your portal space to list their homes. And why am I relating back to that question is because I think from a developer's point of view, I think you are right to say that if somebody were to be a developer, if like they are mid or heavyweight developer, and because they are like 300 to 500 units to sell, it makes sense to invest in a $2 to $4 million show flat. And they shouldn't risk it by not doing a show flat, ma, because Singapore is so small. Geographically, weekends, people will just drive to the show gallery to watch it. But I think for singular units, home sellers that individual only have one sellers. Property to sell, my point of view is that if virtual staging takes off at a very, very massive pace, and I don't know, maybe your I don't know how your tech will look like in your portal space, but if it takes off, I believe that realtors, homeowners, they might want to save on physical staging. Okay, so I'm not against physical staging because I believe in physical home staging. I've been doing it for the last 6 years. Majority of our homes are done with physical home staging. If it's a vacant home, if it's a home with existing furniture, we beautify it. We put in nicer accessories and stuff. But I believe with, let's say, the adoption of whatever VR goggles happen, because it's singular, and if the VR goggles can reduce the cost of marketing, or portals, virtual staging can reduce the cost of marketing, I think that might happen in this portion on the single owner side. But maybe for developers, not so. So what do you think of the goggles that's going to come out like next year? Apple Vision Pro.
Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah, are you a fan of it?
Which costs an arm and a leg.
No, because I heard you have a goggle.
Yeah. So I have the Facebook one, which is the Pro Quest. I don't remember the name. Something to do with Quest. So I've used it for gaming purposes, right? I've used it quite a lot in the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then it hasn't been used since.
Okay, how much is that?
I think it's like $600-$700. So it's not nowhere near the scale of the Apple product, lah.
Which is going to be like $3,500 USD, about 5K Sing.
Yeah. So it has to be done at a professional level, right? Because most retail person are not going to be able to afford that, right?
Right.
But I think it'll be a challenge for it to take off, just personal opinion.
Right.
Because for these things to work, you need what we call the network effect, right? It's like Facebook works because I have a Facebook account, you have a Facebook account, everybody here has a Facebook account. Yeah. So then we can go and like check each other out. So same thing with the goggles, right? For it to work, I have to be in a metaverse where every one of my friends also in the metaverse, right? But if my friends are not in the metaverse or not in the virtual space, then I'm just going to use it for my own individual use. Mm. The network effect is not there.
Mm.
And hence, the takeoff will be a lot slower. So that's what I feel would happen. So I'm quite surprised by the pricing strategy by Apple, because for them to price it at that price point, maybe it has other productivity gains that I'm not aware of. Yeah. So I've tried it. I think it's great.
The Facebook one.
Yeah, the Facebook one for gaming and all. It's fantastic. It was great. I've not used it for like videos and all.
Okay.
I think the reason why it has not taken off as widely as what these companies would have hoped is because it's actually very uncomfortable having something on your head for a very long period of time.
Mm.
Right? Mm. Because it's heavy and then your visions are also limited, right? So you can't wear it for longer than 30 minutes.
Do you feel drowsy after a while?
Initially, yes, but you get used to it after a while. But I think it's not so much the drowsiness, it's just that it just feels heavy, right? So if somebody can come up with something where it's like putting on your glasses, I mean, then it will take off. But I think the inconvenience of having to put on the goggles now outweighs the benefits, lah. So which is why I think it doesn't take off
Right. I think the Vision Pro, a funny story was that when I show my two boys, I mean, my youngest one is only 4 years old, but I show my 17-year-old and the 13-year-old boy. After watching the Apple Vision Pro video and the whole explainer and from the Apple event, right? Then my third boy, okay, because each of them own 0.1 Bitcoin. So I invest for that. Yeah, I use that. I mean, I said, your angpao money you want to put where? And last time we put in Tesla stock, but after the stock split and stuff, okay, I said, let's cash out. Let's get 0.1 Bitcoin each. Then, he was telling me, hey, Daddy, can you sell my 0.1? Because I want to buy this Apple Vision Pro thing when it comes out. So I said, why do you want it? He said, you want to use it for gaming. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I look at the preview, I think the positioning is that it works like an entire Mac computer. Like the whole chip is inside. Mm-hmm. It functions like a computer. Mm-hmm. My only concern is, of course, the 2 hours battery life. But actually, I'm looking forward to it because I think if there are developers that's working on the virtual staging space within this goggle, what could happen is that it's going to drastically reduce the cost of marketing of vacant homes in Singapore or homes that are not well renovated. Because I don't know, I was just visualizing in future, could it be that if a home buyer comes, or let's say a realtor conducts an open house, they have 10 groups of people that come in at different timings or whatever. The realtor just said you bring two goggles, right?
I have to wear it.
Just wear it, click on the button, go into this app, instantly it populates out the renovation and you can toggle renovation themes.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that'll be fantastic. Then we don't even have to do physical staging. And you can morph to many different types of home, like landed properties. You can stand outside the landed home, look at it. How does it feel like if you tear down and rebuild and stuff, so I think there's potential, but of course it depends on whether are there developers doing this because I think it's going to be very heavy, for tech and stuff.
But yeah, I mean the potential is there.
But it's just how long, lah?
Yeah,
how long? What do you think? In terms of the recent news, right?
Oh, which one?
I mean, recently. I mean, like. Okay, anyway, like the DIY portal and all these are not new things.
Okay,
maybe let's talk a little bit about the involvement of realtors in the market. Because, I mean, one segment, I think your business model is serving and adding value to realtors. Then your other business in terms of the editorial is towards developers, realtors, and also covering the market news, right, for consumers. So how do you think the involvement of realtors will evolve in the next 3 to 5 years? Do you think more realtors will be disrupted? I read an article, actually a high percentage of realtors in Singapore, although there are 32,000, a high percentage are actually above 40 years old. So how do you see that space evolving?
Tech adoption and all, maybe slower than some.
And I think you have the best numbers of how many active agents are there.
So I mean, we were looking at the stats recently, right? So in total every year, there's about 35,000 transactions for sale properties. So that includes HDB resale and also condo, new launch, and
landed residential.
Landed and all different types, like commercial, industrial. So that's 35 to 40,000. And we have 33,000 agents in the market, right? So each one do what, 1.5 or under 2 for sale transactions in the market.
Okay, but based on what you see, active agents, is it less than 6,000?
I think it's somewhere between 6,000 to 8,000.
Because only active agents will spend money for
correct
subscriptions, right?
Correct. For subscription, for bottles, content writing, for marketing or whatever.
Right.
So it's only the active agents, lah. So do I think that there are too many agents in the market? So I think yes, based on the transactions. So I mean, you would notice that actually half of the agents actually don't even do one transaction per year, for example. They're just there to park their license. It's like just in case.
They want to buy themselves or what?
Or my, you know, my uncle, my auntie, maybe they want somebody to serve. Or in case, you know, I lose my job, then this is something I could fall back on. So there's actually a lot of plan in that category. In terms of how technology will disrupt the role of the agents.
Right.
I don't think the role of the agents will be replaced. But I think the role of the agent will need to change, right? And it's already changing. So those that are not adopting technology fast enough, those that are not familiar with social media marketing, for example, those that are not familiar with Google Ads, pay-per-click marketing, for example, they will be left behind. Because as more and more people move to the digital space to search for housing, if you're not adopting this technology, then definitely you'll be left behind. So the next wave of technology is virtual VR, right? AR, and then obviously AI lah, that will not say disrupt this space, but it will change the way the agents behave. So the agent roles, it boils down to very personal relationship basis, right? So I think that is the role of the agent, right? Being able to negotiate on behalf of my client, right? Using different negotiation techniques, being able to deliver to my client what my client needs at different times. So I hear this story from one of my agent friends who tells me actually agents are like private bankers, right? I have to respond as and when my client needs my help. So I think that is sort of the role that the agent will evolve to. Not so much the come, I drive you here to open the door to show you the unit. So it's not just opening doors, but it's more about managing clients' expectation, managing buyers' expectation, managing sellers, negotiating on behalf of your client, taking care of their needs, providing them insights and data or information that other agents may not have, right? Just because I'm so specialized in this area, I know what's the supply that's coming in, yada, yada. So I think that is the role of the agents.
He's an advisor, like a consultant role. Yeah.
So that will continue to happen, and with technology, that's going to happen more and more quickly.
For the realtor space, of course, portals is the means of marketing and advertising for their existing homes that they want to sell, right? How do you see the involvement towards like lead generation for in the realtor business? Like,
you mean as in agents?
Like with the involvement, yes. Do you think that this will also like change certain ways in how, I mean, like in the past,
agents relying on portals, they could just do it themselves.
Oh no, I always think that portals is of course the place for me to, is a marketplace for me to list my properties, right? To help my clients help find buyers. So I think that's the primary usage of how realtors view portals. Prospecting wise has changed. In the past, realtors need to depend on mailers, flyers. Which some realtors are still doing it today. I'm not saying that it totally doesn't work. I would just say that the ROI and hit rate has reduced drastically.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Telemarketing has almost been eliminated with DNC.
Yes.
How do you view this portion here? Because you are in the content creation space as well, editorial. You also create content for realtors and stuff. How do you see this evolvement towards disruption? Like, what kind of realtors will be disrupted very quickly if they cannot generate leads on a consistent basis?
So I think the disruption doesn't just happen at the realtor level. It also happens at the platform level.
Okay.
Because like portals, arguably, like, what is the role of a portal, right? Because now, agent today, they can do social media marketing themselves, right? They can do Google Ads themselves, right? To generate the leads. So why do you need a portal, right? So that is the question we also constantly ask ourselves. Right? What is our
disruption
value add that we can bring
right
to the agents to enhance their marketing skills, right? So... Right. So it's not there's no easy answer. I mean, obviously portals have some advantages lah, right? For example, portals, we have listings from many, many agents, right? Not just one or two agents. So hence we provide choices to consumers in the market. That's why consumers still use our portals, right? Because if you do your own social media marketing or whatever, it's just that few listings. So the number of listings obviously is very critical.
Right.
And that is the role that the portal still plays. So what you also need to think of is that for agents listing on platforms and portals such as ours, what insights and what research can I give to that particular piece of listing or particular listing to help position or market that listing better, right? So it's not just you tell me what your property, what you're trying to sell, then copy and paste, put on HPOP portal. It's not, I don't think it's like that anymore, right? It's more like, I tell you what I have to sell, right? HPOP adds values and values
to make it easier, for me.
More appealing to the wider market, right?
Okay. And that can be done with AI as well.
Correct. You're absolutely right. That can be done with technology, right? That can be automated with technology, with insights. So that is sort of, I think, the way the portal is going to change.
Should evolve.
Right? It's not just an online classified space. Right? It's adding value to agents. Mm. Because if you don't, then agents can obviously just do it themselves or go to other places.
Mm. So in your perspective, as somebody that's running the portal space, you feel that the disruption from other social media platforms
definitely
is there.
Definitely.
Yeah. Do you see a day that, okay, so of course I think what you are already doing and intending to do, based on what I heard, it seems like you are really trying to infuse a lot of value add to just an existing listing with AI or virtual signature and stuff like that. Do you see a day that maybe realtors don't need portals?
Mm.
Or would that ever happen? Like, what do you think?
So I think the definition of portal is also quite broad, lah. Like, what is a portal, right? Is it just a space where you can just search for a property? Then by that definition, social, like Facebook is also a portal. Like Google is also a portal, right? So I think...
How can you be more than a listing marketplace?
Yeah, and also, so I think we all have, going forward, everyone has to be very specialized, right? The reason why today I don't go to Facebook to search for property is because they're not specialized in property, right?
They're broad.
They are very broad, right? Yeah. They are not...
They have like every kind
their of verticals content. In property is maybe level 2, right?
Right.
But whereas the portals, we go very deep, right? Our analysis, our search engine, for example, we spend every day thinking about this, right? Whereas for Facebook, it's not so much that, right? It's more of a marketplace as and when. So it may work for certain products, right? So it may work for like room rentals, for example, right? Where people go to Facebook groups to search for room rentals. Because these are easy products, right? These are products where I can do a transaction online without actually seeing it, right? So these kind of things work. But for $1 million transactions, you want to be very, very sure, right? Because going back to the point of purchasing property throughout your lifetime, you only buy once or twice. So you want to be absolutely sure that it's the right property, right? So you want to do the right research, you want to have the right data, you want to have the right analysis before making a decision. So I think that portals that can do that well will survive, because that is the value add, right? And obviously, whatever we do, people always catch up, right? So it's about constant innovation.
Right. And you cannot stop.
Because there's no barriers to entry, what? Actually, you think about it, right? In the digital space, anyone can copy what anyone else does, right? And it doesn't take a lot of money to do that, right? So it's about constant innovation, like I said, but also branding. I think branding will be key, right? Like if I say brand X, you know exactly what it is, right? If you say Facebook today, you know exactly what it is. So so branding becomes very crucial. So if you have good product, good innovation, and good branding, then I think you can differentiate yourself. If not, I think it's difficult. Like I think you mentioned some of the DIY portals.
Yeah,
I don't want to name the names, but
so do you think like in your since 2015 until today, do you think that there'll be a day that realtors will be displaced? Like will consumers not need realtors anymore? But, okay, so my thought process is that because of the fact that real estate transactions happens once every 3 years, example, when seller stamp duty is up. But averagely, I mean, based on certain statistics and research, is that because of seller stamp duty, the length of home ownership has also lengthened. Averagely, people transact maybe between 5 to 9 years or even more once. And because of that, the thought process is that a consumer, the moment they purchase it, they will then have more mind space in the next phase, which is renovation, move in, shopping for furnitures. Then they will not sort of pay attention to the real estate market for that consistently. And maybe in the next 5 years, they will continue to focus on their business, their work, their kids and all that. And in 5 years time, the moment they want to switch, that is the phase that they want to have certainty, like what you say. They don't want to maybe just try to do it on their own. They probably will say, let's get an expert in, settle the selling, buying the time frame. What are the latest policies that will affect mine? I don't want to pay additional surprising ABSD.
Correct. You want to make sure your cash flow is correct, right? Like you calculate wrongly, then how?
Correct. So my thought process is that because of this once in like a 5 to 10 years thing, And this is like a high quantum product. People tend to hunt for certainty and expert guidance. So what do you think? Do you think that realtors will be displaced in 5 or 10 years time?
I think certain categories is already being displaced, right? Like rental, for example.
Yeah.
Right.
You can and buying of homes.
Buying on homes, like for the reasons you mentioned, because it's a $1 million property, you want to make sure your cash flow is correct. That kind of stuff. Mm. I think it's not so much yet. You do see for some of the HDB segments, right? There are DIY sort of portals where, although not really DIY, lah, they claim to be DIY, but actually they do less agent work and some of the documentation or whatever you do yourself.
Yeah.
So the cost can be managed more effectively, right? But for example, rental space, you can rent a room without an agent, right? You can go direct to landlord.
Facebook groups and stuff.
Facebook groups. Yeah. So that segment is already
being displaced. Yeah.
But the higher end segments, for the reasons you mentioned, I think it's very difficult because I think at the end of the day, real estate is a very brick and mortar business. It's very, it evolves based on personal relationship, right? Yeah. I want somebody that I can trust, that can negotiate on my behalf, and that can make sure that I'm not overpaying or not underselling and making sure that my finances are in place. So all these things still requires a human touch, right? And most people won't have time to go and learn all these things and do it themselves. It's very difficult. And it's what, 2% transaction cost, right? To make sure that all these things are taken care of. But certain segments of the market, like I mentioned, yeah, it's very likely for it to be displaced.
Right. I think like the evolvement since the past, like, so in the past, of course, before the implementation of the council, in the past there were so-called like, if you were to serve like a HDB home buyer, there are fees payable. But of course now, in terms of if let's say somebody will want to do DIY home purchasing, I think it's very normal that, and I think it's already like a common thing that HDB buyers tend to DIY, because of the involvement of the HDB portals and stuff like that. Which of course some HDB buyers will still want people to serve them. They're still willing to pay like a 1% fee to serve them for HDB and stuff like that. But private property all along, as a home buyer, there's no fees involved. And I think like it seems to me like in Singapore, actually in Singapore real estate commission fees are compared to like the states are actually very low. But I think the involvement is towards the purchasing side, because I think Singapore has evolved to a stage that there are a lot of information online, a lot of free tools, a lot of free analysis tools for home buyers. So I think home buyers want to sort of like take charge of their own purchase decision. Weekends, they want to have freedom, go around, look at things themselves, DIY transact themselves, whether is it a private lender or HDB. But I think for the selling portion,
still need the property agents to
because Singapore is so busy, right? So probably will still want an expert to handle for them.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. How about like let's look at the other spectrum in terms of like the editorial space. How do you see the editorial space in the next 3 years like evolving?
Okay, that's an interesting question. So I think editorial space or any form of writing or any form of content creation, not just writing, right? Even designs, right? Designing website designs or graphic designs or anything that is on regeneration or content creation will be disrupted by AI, right? So the role of the writers and the editors, right, will have to change along with that, because it's not so much about writing in perfect English anymore. Right, because that can be done by
ChatGPT
technology, 4.0, ChatGPT or whatever, right? But it's about creating angles to lead into your stories that users will find interesting, right? Finding investigative stories, right? Spend more time doing this kind of investigative.
They have to dig a lot
work
deeper.
Where you have to dig a lot, which we do quite a bit, right? For example, we do a lot of analysis on who's buying this, if someone's famous, or you know, this person paid 60% ABSD or whatever. So we do a lot of that. So I think writers or publishers or media companies such as ours will need to spend more of their resources in that space rather than writing good English, right? Rather than writing flowery, using nice words or beautiful words,
right.
Perfect grammar, no typo. Not so much of that anymore because technology can easily do that, right? So it's about really be more productive, coming up with more angles, coming up with more stories, coming up with more investigative stuff. I think that will be the value add of media organizations going forward.
Right. So we talk about like the portal space, and for that you're value adding to Reuters. Editorial space, you're value adding to public consumers, investors, developers, and of course like your partners, right? How about the third spectrum? Is that data analytics, right?
Okay.
So of course, data analytics, it seems to me like in your business model, it combines them together. And one other group that you're serving will be the developers. How do you see the new projects, property space? Maybe just talk about this year. This year, 47 launches. Averagely, based on the first 6 months, developers are doing between 20 to 50%. Yeah, how do you see the space like in terms of the market trending? Because naturally transactions are lower this year compared to last. 2021 was an exceptional year. We cannot take that for reference. It happens once every 10 years. How do you see the space?
You mean the new launch space, like, basically?
So
the new launch space, as you correctly pointed out, the first half, some of the launches did generally quite well, right? 25-50% is considered quite good in today's market lah. But as you also pointed out, there's 47 launches this year, right? So I don't think all 47 are going to launch this year. So a lot of them will probably flow to next year. And recently we also wrote about this. I think the buyer's fatigue is real. Like so many choices, right? So if you want to buy for homestay, you really want to take your time and pick a product that makes sense from a convenience, from a connectivity perspective, right? So projects that will still do well, I believe, are the very special projects. Projects that sits on top of an MRT, for example, right? That sits on top of an integrated mall, right? Integrated development. So those projects will continue to do well. Because those projects, actually, if you think about it, is very few and far between. There's a lot of mass condos or whatever, right? But projects that are truly integrated and plan well, right, the integration component, I think those will continue to do well. And those, Singaporeans don't mind paying big money for it because of the convenience, connectivity, and whatever, right? So I think that space will continue to do well. So the challenge for developer really is, how do you create a product that tells a good story, that reaches your right target audience, and is differentiated enough from other products? Because it cannot be just another product, because you have so many launches and consumers are spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
So that is, I think, the challenge for developers. And I think that is also why some developers push back some of their launches to next year, maybe rethink the strategy, rethink their marketing stories before going to the market. So I think that's a bit of that. And obviously, some developers are also affected by the 60% ABSD.
And like, they also have to think about the 5 years timeline.
For example, CDL Newport, they decided not to launch after the 60% implementation because then they want to take a step back and see how the market reacts to
and
it.
All that. Yeah. Right. So how do you think, like, moving forward, apart from the fact that developers need to think about their positioning, the product angle, really having a differentiated product because they have a little bit more competition, what do you think will be the mindset that a lot of buyers probably will be thinking on the ground? Is that, would there be like a price drop, or would there be discounts? Like, what do you think in terms of this kind of like thought process?
Okay, actually pricing is obviously based on many different variables, right? I think Singapore, we've been very fortunate with the property market since COVID, right? I don't think there's any other countries in the world where property market continues to rise despite all the challenges. Even Hong Kong, right, which is known for its crazy prices, the market is down 10-15%.
Yeah, even South Korea also. This is the first time after, I think, 13 months that they see like a U-turn. So I think like a lot of global cities are affected.
So globally, actually, I mean, it's natural, right? Because interest rates very high now. I shouldn't say very high, like, it's back to what it was before the low interest rate environment, right? So, to curb inflation, right? So obviously, interest rate makes it very expensive, not just for consumers to buy property, but also from developers. So both the supply side is affected, because developers now they think, hey, do I want to buy this site because my interest cost, my holding cost is very high, right? Mm. So the fewer the developers buying and launching means supply is taken out of the market, right? Mm. So you have an environment where there is low supply, right? But at the same time, you have an environment where demand may also come down. So when you have supply reducing, demand coming down, maybe net-net pricing will not fall, but I think it's unlikely that it will continue in the same trajectory in the last few years where prices have gone up, what, 8% per year or something like that.
It has been 10%
or something like that. Yeah. So I don't think that will happen anymore in the next 2 to 3 years, as long as interest rates continue to stay high.
Yeah.
Inflation continues to stay. I think that is unlikely to happen because of the reasons that I mentioned. So what will be interesting is to look at actually is the second half of this year.
Mm.
Not so much the launches, but the land sites that are being put up for tender.
Mm, like right? How many bids are there?
How many bids and at what price? Mm. Right? Because if it's lower than
the previous prices,
then that kind of tells you the trend where the market is heading, right?
Mm.
But if it's higher, then they have to relaunch at a higher price, because not just land costs have gone up, but construction costs and all these things, right, have gone up quite a bit. So I think that will be the interesting watch for the coming 6 half, to really see what will the prices be like next year. But whether it's going to continue the 8-10%, I think it's unlikely for a while, at least until interest rates come down.
Yeah. I mean, the last 3 years landed, and then in terms of landed and condo, averaged about 23 to probably about 26% increment.
Yeah.
But I think based on the first quarter now, it's stabilized.
In fact, some of the segments fell, right?
RCR fell.
Yeah, RCR fell, right? Yeah.
So I think it should be like single digit kind of movement. In fact, I think one contributing factor with the difference between Singapore and the rest of the world now, in fact, I think the latest UBS Wealth report was that Singapore was like the only city that defy the drop in global wealth. Mm. It's like our global wealth technically increased, the amount of millionaires increased in Singapore and stuff. So I think the safe haven effect is taking place. Mm. A lot of people want to really come to Singapore to park their funds here. And do you ever think that our cooling measures can be retracted? I mean, we have about 16 rounds. I just feel that we're stuck. And it's like the moment if our government were to release anything, the floodgate will open. Yeah, so we just got a feeling that it's stuck. They can only add, they cannot retract. what do you think?
I think cooling measures, by its definition and name, is meant to be temporary, right? To just cool the market for a short term of period before it's being removed. That is the definition of cooling measures.
Mm.
But I don't recall any cooling measure. Well, the only one that SSD, I can think of, SSD, four to three years. Yeah. That was the only one, right? And I think that sort of moved the market a bit. Mm. So I think Singapore, generally, the real estate sector, we are quite blessed in the sense that I don't think the government will let the market fail, correct? But at the same time, I don't think a rapid increase in prices is also what the authority wants, because then you make it a lot harder for people to own property, home ownership, which becomes another issue, right?
Mm.
So it's a very controlled
environment
right? In fact, I think we did a study maybe a month or two ago where we look at the volatility of property prices in Singapore compared to other big markets,
right?
Other big cities like New York, Hong Kong, Sydney. And Singapore has the lowest volatility, right? Because it's so well managed, right? So if your question is whether cooling measures may be retracted.
Right.
I think potentially yes, if property prices fall significantly, right? Because they have this lever where they can
recalibrate. Okay, yeah.
Because they also don't want property prices to fall, right?
Yeah.
Like homeowners will be upset, right? So naturally, there is this in place in case anything happens. But obviously, the caveat here is that everything else is status quo, right? But if you have a war or you have whatever, then all these equations are thrown out of the room, then the equilibrium is off. But generally, I think we are blessed in the sense that there are these levers in place to moderate property prices, but at the same time, it can also prevent property prices from falling too drastically, because I don't think that's what the Singapore government wants. So,
right. Yeah. Okay, second last question. What do you think will be the hidden ripple effects of the latest standard plus and prime BTO model?
Wow. It's a good. I think I should ask you this question.
I can share also. You go ahead.
So I mean, I think generally it's good. It'll take time to educate the consumers, because personally, for me, when it came out, now you have like three different products to choose from, right? So if I go for my HDB appointment, like, how do I decide? Because it can be very tricky, right?
Yeah.
To decide based on so many different permutations. Like, if I go for plus, then it's 10 years MOP. If I go for standard, it's 5 years. Like, is this better? So there be a lot of questions. But I think generally it's good. It's product segmentation, right? Like, when you take marketing classes, the first thing you do learn is about product segmentation, right? Because different groups have different needs. But I think you're right. So before we videoed this or taped this, you mentioned that it may encourage people to buy some of the resale markets now.
Yeah.
Before then, you cannot buy the new ones 10 years later, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it will have an effect of creating a bit of hype today in the resale space. So potentially that is the repercussion. But I'm sure that is not the intention. I think the intention is basically making sure that future generations can afford something that they want to afford. Yeah. I mean, that they want to. Because, for example, they put in the income ceiling, the 14,000 income ceiling.
Correct.
For the
plus and prime.
Which is basically to prevent speculative, right? They don't want you to buy, own a HDB 5 years later, 10 years later, flip it. You know, that is not the intention of HDB. Right? HDB is to ensure that it's sufficient housing for all. What are your views?
I did a calculation. I mean, I think it's like an extremely smart move. So it's like they give you three packages, right? So it's very clear cut now. If you are a young couple, you'll be thinking you have four products to choose. One is you go for prime or the best location, plus near MRT. If not, you go for standard, which is definitely feeder bus. So if you're a couple that wants to live beside MRT station, you technically only have two choices. Either I go for the plus or I go for resale now. If I go for the plus, I can only exit in 14 years time. So let's say a couple is 30 years old. By the time they can exit, they wait 4 years to collect keys, 10 years to fulfill MOP. I'll be 44 years old. By the time if I want to move to a private property, I'll be 45. Then there are two restrictions. Number one, if I want to keep my HDB and bite the bullet to buy a private, I cannot rent out the HDB because they don't allow you to rent out.
You can't rent out the whole unit anymore.
I can't rent out the rooms, right? And to rent out the rooms, the rule of HDB is you have to stay inside. Then the second rule is I can only sell to the next resale buyer that has an income ceiling of 14,000. So
which means your price will be
correct. So we did a backward calculation. 14,000 MSR limit. Your loan for HDB is about 800 over 1,000. Your loan for bank is about 700 over 1,000, which caps the total purchase ability to about 935 to 1 mil. So it's a very smart move to cap the property price at about 1 million. And the forward calculation that we did was that if I less off my outstanding loan, HDB accrued interest over 10 years, return subsidy, and they sort of hinted that the subsidy, I look at the news article, they say they might try to bring down to, if it's supposed to be 650, they will launch at 550. So let's say I return a subsidy of 100,000. Actually, the cash proceed average out to be 100 odd to 130,000, which is the same as standard.
Which is not much.
So I think young couples will start to think, if I want to stay near MRT, why don't I just go for a resale
HDB near today,
MRT? So I don't know, but it feels like the underlying ripple is that people might start to deviate a little bit. Unless they are very sure they will not move up. They are gonna stay there for long and things like that. But we see how it goes. I think this will all happen 14 years later in the year 2037, right? So by the time it's already, I don't know what is the median household income by then.
Yeah.
I also don't know what is the inflation rate by then. Mm-hmm. And we also don't know what will prices yeah,
correct,
be like.
Correct. It's so long. And everything will be different by then.
Yeah.
But do you think it will have a ripple effect in the sense that maybe I stretch my budget a bit, I go and buy a resale condo now?
Possible.
Right?
Possible.
Okay.
Yeah. Final question.
Okay.
What is your plan for each prop and the age? Like, where is your goal in the next 3 to 5 years in terms of like, where you want the company to be, where you want the value adding to be, and the direction in terms of like the property space, the prop tech space, and
So I mean, you know, for us, our vision since day one is to help people make better property decisions, right? Helping property agents, their consumers, find the right property at the right price, right? So we'll continue to do that, and in order to do that, I think you have to obviously leverage on technology today, right? Because the potential for technology is immense, right? You can do a lot more things. So we obviously will be spending a bit more time, a bit more resources to build new products that will serve both the consumers and the property agents. But the other thing that we also want to do is actually be a regional player. So today we are in Singapore and Malaysia, right? But real estate investment transcends boundaries. Like I could buy a property in Thailand, for example, right? Even though I'm here. And there are actually a lot of people who do that. So we want to be a regional presence because the synergy makes sense, right? So if I have property here, I could sell to somebody in Thailand. Or property in Thailand, I could sell to somebody in Singapore. So we want to establish our presence in these markets over the next couple of years lah. And obviously the challenge for us to do that is I don't want to just go in and start a portal, right? Because our age is basically content and also data insights, right? And as you know, data or research information in these markets can be quite difficult to obtain, right? Because it's not as transparent as Singapore, right? There's no URA that publishes information. So for us is to work on that, to see if we can get that kind of information and then marry them with our editorial capabilities before we enter these markets.
Right.
But obviously that is part of the plan for us to be a regional player and not just in Singapore and Malaysia. So our goal is to obviously help people make better property decisions in the region and not just in Singapore and Malaysia.
Awesome. Yeah. I think like in terms of like readership for each prop, it's always been like the trusted source. Yeah. And I think your writers are doing a great job. Portals also, I mean like in terms of data analytics tools, even my realty site, our consultants are using on a very regular basis. So I think
thank you. Thanks for your
support. You guys will continue to do well.
Thank you so much. Thanks for coming
On this NOTG podcast. Very glad to have you and your time. Yeah, thanks
for that. Thank you. Thanks, Melvin. Thanks for having me.
All right. Everything okay? Footage lost. Repeat.
You all got press record, right?
That would be the worst nightmare, right?